Earlier this week, the president met with Attorney General John Ashcroft to discuss various approaches. NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The case of John Walker has fascinated Americans because he is an American, a son of privilege who became entranced with Islam and Al-Qaeda. What's more, TV tape of him keeps popping up, as it did this week on CNN. The tape, actually recorded 2 weeks ago, shows a wounded Walker acknowledging that he attended a training camp financed by Osama bin Laden and that he traveled with the Taliban.
I was a student in Pakistan studying Islam. And I came into contact with many people who were connected with the Taliban. I lived in a region in the northwest frontier province. The people there in general have a great love for the Taliban. So I started to read some of the literature of the scholars and the history of the movement, and this side, my heart became attached to the movement. I wanted to help them.
Whatever charges are eventually brought against Walker, the likelihood is that they will be in a U.S. court. And in that case, the man overseeing the prosecution will be Michael Chertoff, the Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division. He's a seasoned prosecutor, having won convictions against a wide range of wrongdoers, from mobsters to the chief judge of New York State. And he admits that prosecuting Walker for treason would be difficult.
I don't know if it's the most difficult, but it does have a high standard, but not an impossible standard.
A high standard indeed. The proof required for a treason conviction is spelled out not just in any statute, but in the Constitution of the United States. And it requires either the testimony of two eyewitnesses to the treasonous acts or a confession in open court by the defendant. There have, of course, been treason convictions in the past, but career prosecutors admit putting together a case against a low-level soldier in a foreign army in the chaos of war would be a very tough assignment. That's why the Justice Department is looking at other crimes that Walker might be tried for.
There are statutes that prohibit aiding terrorist organizations or terrorists, which could be applicable in a situation. And if the individual was involved in killing an American, there are laws against murdering or killing Americans overseas that could also come into play.
Chertoff says that FBI agents are now in Afghanistan investigating the Walker case. And while he's careful to speak in general terms, Chertoff notes that even after an indictment is brought, that would not necessarily foreclose adding, for example, a treason charge later.
I know from my own experience as a prosecutor, there comes a point where there's enough evidence, now you have a charge. Now, you may ultimately get additional evidence and bring additional charges, but once you have sufficient evidence for a charge, there's really almost never a reason to wait.
Inside the Justice Department, Chertoff is the point man on much of the administration's anti-terror crusade. So I asked him about a number of the administration's actions. Why, for example, has the administration limited military tribunals to non-citizens? After all, if a terror prosecution against a non-citizen might compromise national security, why wouldn't the same be true for citizens?
I think it's clear that you could apply it to citizens. But, you know, the president made the judgment he made, and it was his to make as to how he wanted to apply it.
In discussing the extraordinary powers that the administration has assumed in the aftermath of September 11th, Chertoff repeatedly noted that the Constitution gives the president the power to do things in times of war that he could not do in times of peace. And Chertoff contends that wartime includes not just a war declared by Congress, but any armed conflict that is thrust upon the U.S. So how far does that go? Supposing the Justice Department got reliable information that there was a nuclear bomb somewhere in Manhattan set to go off in 10 hours. Could federal officers torture detainees to learn the location of that device?
That sounds like a script for a movie. I mean, let me say this. I mean, we live in what some people could describe as a post-terrorist world. But we don't live in a post-constitutional world. I think, you know, my sense all along has been that everybody who participates in the process wants to remain, you know, faithful to the kind of enduring values of this country and the Constitution. At the same time, the Constitution does permit us to take note of circumstances that are unusual or extraordinary threats. And I think the Constitution permits us to do things in these circumstances that it might not in other circumstances, whether it be overseas or whether it be in this country as well.
Assistant Attorney General Michael Chertoff. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.